Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So in addition to the polling that seems to be getting wider and wider with Biden in the lead, Rolling Stone magazine has come out and endorsed Joe Biden, stating that Donald Trump is categorically unfit to be president. You know it's bad when Rolling Stone's coming out and giving you that kind of a statement. I'm waiting for the Wall Street Journal to come out against him. Maybe then. Anyway, let's find out what's going on around the world and in Washington, D.C., our good friend, former congressman, political analyst, Bob Nay. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick.
So Rolling Stone saying categorically unfit, not just unfit, but categorically unfit to be president.
Well, I think that, of course, with the Rolling Stone, I mean, I like the magazine. Some people will say, well, okay, you know, that's a magazine that's going to do that. You know, it'd be like maybe the New York Times. But I think if you look at, there was a list published, for example, 3 days ago of former members of Congress, Republican. I knew a lot of people on the list. And then you see that, and you start to say, wow. I mean, it was probably, Rick, about 20-some people on that list.
Yeah. No, I mean,
but it's not something you want from the Rolling Stones, a magazine, obviously, you know.
Yeah, I'm waiting for, you know, the slew of other endorsements to come out for Biden. Because, look, I don't know how you can look at Trump and go, yeah, that, we want 4 more years of this craziness. Unless you're Fox News and the places that need him. I can't imagine how you can look at the last 4 years and go, yeah, I want to go through this again.
Well, of course, you know, he does have supporters. And I was actually telling a close friend of mine the other day who did a broad categorical swipe at all Trump supporters. I said, you really don't get into the despicable deal that there are people that are torn and maybe, you know, don't even like him, but they're torn maybe for other reasons, you know, of voting for Biden. I said, so be cautious, you know, about that part of it.
No, you're right, because there are some things that, you know, look, I'm not 100% sold on Biden. There are some things that I've got problems with, and I've said it before. His position on trade over the years has been very troubling. The fact that at the beginning of the campaign, he said that, you know, he didn't think China was a problem. I have some problems. But I also believe that Biden's movable to sanity. When you have a guy like Trump who comes out and says, if you vote for Biden, he's going to listen to scientists, that makes me go, yeah, I want to listen to the guy who, I want to vote for the guy who's going to listen to scientists.
Well, yeah, but you know, like I said, part of the problem is that, you know, in the remaining time, I go back to the despicables. They just don't want to do the despicables deal,
right?
You know, but I think with Trump, look, he's lost 24% of his senior support. He's lost a lot of, you know, Republicans, a lot. Officially, he's lost a lot. You know, they come out against him. And it's over, from what I've seen, it's over behavior, not policy, as much as behavior.
Well, because, you know, they don't know the policy. Nobody's really covered the policies that he's moved forward on. They haven't really passed much legislation. And everything that they've done that has been, you know, deregulatory stuff that is going to take a little while for it to become apparent. And I'm going through this with a lot of my labor friends, trying to explain to them some of the decisions that have come out of the National Labor Relations Board that have swung the pendulum of power even further to the side of corporate interests and away from workers and away from, you know, collective bargaining, and making it easier to decertify and making it easier to punish stewards and fire, you know, union officials. I mean, it's bad, and it's gonna be with us for a while. And I know it's nuanced, and I know it's hard to understand, but it's something that very few people are ever talking about. We're talking about the cult of personality and the sideshow that is the Trump show.
Right, and then also, for example, I mean, there's things people may care about or not care about, but on an issue that nobody covers, the amount of the marriages that have been declined at embassies around the world, Filipino, if you marry a Filipino, it's it's went down to 63% chance that they'll be ever allowed to come here to America. Somebody you marry. Yeah. Think about that for a second. India, of every five qualified students who want to come to our colleges to pay for their education and then go back, and, you know, and obviously, how many times have Indian students committed crime over here? You can't name it. Of every five that walks in, three don't make it, and they're not given the reason they're rejected. I mean, I can go on and on. So you've got that, which is the silent stroke of a pen somewhere that told the embassies around the world, no, if they want to come here legitimately, no, at least, you know, make sure half of them don't do it.
Yeah, but here's the thing, when you bring something up like that, you immediately get, well, you know, we don't want them anyway. You know, shut down the borders, keep them out of here. We want that in those spots for our kids. Immediately you get that Hunger Game mentality.
Yes, well, I agree. But you also have gotten people so stuck. I'm talking about Republicans I know, Republicans who have gotten married and cannot bring their spouses here. They've been trying for 3 years now to bring their spouses that they married, you know, and because that's who's called me to say, hey, where do you think I go from here? And I say, get a lawyer.
Yeah. No, it's who you voted for. But it's this kind of stuff that, you know, our media doesn't really pay attention to. And I don't know that we ever really did. I mean, a lot of this stuff, you know, happens and you know, it goes unnoticed. But there's been so much of an attack on the regulatory state, on the administrative state, that I think it's going to be, you know, years before we realize the damage that this administration has done.
Well, you're right. There are regulatory functions that have been altered, and some of them have barely made any media attention because there's so much other, you know, everything else going on, or something the president says that's outrageous. And then within these agencies, there's been all kinds of changes. And I don't think that you can even begin to analyze what's happened, because some of it we just don't even know what they've done. You know, something happens, you say, well, why did that happen? Oh, well, because there was a change the administration put out. It wasn't even an executive order, Rick. It's a cabinet member of the president saying, yep, do this.
No, it's the person they put in charge
don't
of that.
They don't need an executive order.
And this is what I've been, you know, people are going, you know, why are you voting for Joe Biden? And I go, you know, it's the people that he's going to put in charge. Because immediately anyone says, oh, you're going to vote for Joe Biden, that pedophile. And I'm going, Joe Biden's not a pedophile.
Right.
But, you know, again, it's immediate to that extreme. And I said, you know, the reality is he's going to put good people into positions that I feel more confident than I feel with Trump and the people that he's put in there. The swing has been so too far to the moneyed interest and to the corporate interests, and it's getting worse.
Well, now, also think about something. This is fascinating. Normally, in a case like this, we might even say, well, all this right-wing, you know, things he's done. Actually, you've got some Republicans that don't like him because he's done things that even they don't agree with.
Right.
Think about that for a second.
No, I mean, there are a couple of things in the Trumpta, the new NAFTA, that there's no way a Republican would have ever signed. The end of the investor dispute settlement system, which I gave them credit for, and labor pushed hard for it.
Right.
You know, they pushed hard for independent unions in Mexico. We'll see. There's no teeth into it, but right. You know, even the statement, Republicans would have never gotten behind that.
Right.
And I agree, right. There are some things, and which is why I've said and I've taken heat for it. I wouldn't be all that upset if he won and the Democrats took over the Senate. Because ultimately, I think he'll sign whatever you put on his desk, because he doesn't have any core values. He just wants to have, you know, people say nice things about him and have the little parties and the pomp and circumstance and play the role. I truly believe that.
Oh, yes. If you look at the stimulus package, he offed the package. He said, I'm done. It's off the table. We're done till after the election. And basically indicated to the House via Speaker Pelosi, indicated, well, we'll go $1.8 trillion and above if you want, and, well, yeah, we don't know what will be in it, but we could do that. And then it alarmed McConnell, the leader of the Senate, to the point where he said, well, I don't care what you come up with, we're not doing it. But look at that offer.
Yeah.
You know, they left it open for really the House to write it if they wanted to.
No, it reminds me of a story that I have a friend who was he was one of the negotiators for the USFL, for the players union, for the USFL, if you remember them. Back years ago, the New Jersey Generals and, you know, the football league that Trump owned one of the teams. And he tells the story of how all the owners were in a room and the negotiations weren't going anywhere. And Trump walked in and just blew everything up and ended up giving away all kinds of stuff that was really great for the players. And all the owners were just beyond ticked off. And he had no idea what he had done. But, you know, being from New York and having the New York area team, he didn't care. And ended up, basically what they say, brought down the league as they overpromised. And he was the one responsible for that. But this guy, he told me this story of how he just came in and blew everything up, gave away whatever he wanted because he wanted people to say nice things about him. And that is played true throughout this presidency.
Yes, of course. I mean, there's an ego, thing here that occurs. And if people haven't seen that by now, they can't see anything. I mean, it's sort of, as people know who are close to the president, it's sort of who complimented you last, who touched you last.
Yeah.
That's who wins.
Who was nice to you? It's crazy. Right. Now, Thursday is supposed to be the big debate. There's been some back and forth. Trump wants to change the topic. They want to. They don't want. I guess they're mad at the muted button. Mute button. Because I guess there's going to be a mute button now.
Yes.
Do you think it happens? Do you think there's a debate Thursday?
Yes, I think there'll be a debate Thursday because the president is behind. He can't afford not to. Now, if I'm wrong here, he can't afford not to do this, but, he may, it's Trump, he may just say, I'm not doing it. If he does, that's a huge mistake, just like when he pulled the stimulus off the table right before the election.
Yeah.
Huge mistake, just like he has now went off on tangents all over the place instead of a mantra. Huge mistake, just like he's not narrowing Biden down on China. Huge mistake. So is it possible he'll do that? You never know. But he should debate no matter what, no matter the conditions, because he is behind. And, I have people refer to Hillary Clinton at 11 points ahead and then tanked. Well, also, we have to remember other factors of Hillary Clinton, staying out of Wisconsin, Hillary Clinton thinking she won Pennsylvania, and also head of an FBI who within days of the election said, okay, yeah, she's clear, after he launched something on her 10 days before the election. We don't have that scenario right now.
Yeah, but they're trying, man. They're trying.
Well, yes, of course, with Hunter Biden, but they don't have the guts at this point in time to have the Justice Department tomorrow morning, Barr, come out and say, we're going to take Hunter Biden to a grand jury, or whatever. They know they can't do that. That would be a late tactic that would backfire big time.
Yeah.
So that comparison of Hillary Clinton 11 points ahead, in this case right now, I'm not saying that they have to have a Hail Mary. All they need is a couple fumbles, let's say, but the fact remains that the president is behind. That's just the fact of life.
Yeah. The laptop, you've been around this game a long time.
Right.
Thoughts? Are you buying it?
Well, first of all, if you look at this, we have to then believe that Hunter Biden went to a place that charges $89 to fix your laptop. And he, actually went across country, I would assume, because there was no place close to him in L.A. that fixed laptops. I mean, I can go on and on. it's just not a plausible scenario that he did this. If Rudy Giuliani would agree to forensics on the evidence he has, then we might talk a different ball game here. They won't.
Yeah.
So it just, when you look at it, I just don't see it, you know, adding up. Now, when this first came out, which I think is appropriate to do, I held my powder dry because I wanted to see, is there something to it at all? You want to see that or not. Even though it's so close to the election, it was such a preposterous, story that I thought, well, okay, let's still see. I think that once you analyze it, it's not there. It's not there.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Just crazy. But again, we'll see. We'll see how this plays out. But Bob, I appreciate the time. As always, great talking with you, my friend.
Thank you, Rick.
Our good friend, former Congressman, political analyst Bob Ney. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.